Blog Talk Radio.
I fly with the stars in the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call the shots, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything. That I will retire with the ring, and I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy. Cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't faze me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up. It's a celebration every time we linked up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.
That I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. In this moment.
Everybody, tonight it is Saturday, October 8th, 2016, 7:02 p.m. If you are on the West Coast, it is 9:02 p.m. If you are in regions as Texas, and it is 10:02 if you're on the East Coast, and I am Samaz Sugar, a.k.a. Sugarlicious Me, and this is my talk show. I know I have been away from the airways for quite a while. I do apologize, but you know how things go, and you know how life can get a hold of you. It puts you in a chokehold, and you cannot get out of. But I hopefully am back with you all, and hopefully everybody's having a wonderful weekend. What is everybody doing out there today? Everybody out there having some fun, going out, drinking, blah, 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 blah. Those in SL are probably at parties, staring and going, okay, let me just go in there. Anyway, I think I'm back. I'm not really sure. I've missed you guys. I really, really have. And I've missed being on the air, and I've missed doing my talk show. And there is so much going on with me, but no matter what, I've noticed when I come back, you guys are always right there listening and having your ears pressed on. Those in real life and those in the wonderful world of SL, thank you for always being supportive. I greatly appreciate it. It has been over 5 years I've been on the air. Can you believe that? On and off. Let's make that perfectly clear. It hasn't been a straight run, but I have been on and off the air for 5 years, and it's been a challenge. It really, really has. And I really do think I might just be back now for good. Anyway, we have a very serious show for you, and I'm acting really crazy. We have a very serious show for you. And I have put some questions up, and the questions are, what is working poverty? What does it affect, or rather, who does it affect? What can be done about this? What is done initially that this is not done in the U.S.? In other words, what is internationally that this is not done in the U.S.? How can you normalize the effects? Also, what is child poverty? What can we do to spout child poverty? And what is IOTA doing about the working poverty? Now, those of you who are not in SL, and forgive me for reading, I need to put my glasses on. Yes, I wear glasses. We'll talk about that another day. I'm not going to use this form to talk about that. But yes, you guys, I finally went to the doctor and got glasses. So, yeah, anyway. This is a very serious topic. For those who are not in Second Life, you may not realize what this is, but my sister, who is the founder of IOTA Sigma Rho, is it's a sorority that's based in Second Life, basically. And those who don't know about Second Life, I've told you before, go to the website, put in Second Life, just don't log in it because either you'll get addicted by it, you'll get pissed off or something else. But it is a sorority that is in Second Life, and she's also actually a real-life sorority sister, and she's wanted to talk about working poverty, basically people who work but still live in poverty. I guess it's just basically just as it's been said. So she wants to discuss this with you. I'm going to introduce her, and if you have any questions, you definitely can call in. Actually, you know what? Let's not use this form today to call in. Let's use it because she's going to be on the show again. So we're not going to do any call-ins today. I want her just to basically express to you what she's doing and what her sorority is doing about it, what she's doing outside of SL. Because, like I said, she is a member of a real-life sorority. I guess she'll talk a little bit about that as well. But without any further ado, let me allow her to introduce herself to you. Is she there?
Hi. Yes, hi, Sugar. Thank you for having me on the show, sis. I've been waiting, like, I don't know, 5 years, but that's okay.
That's not true. You've not been waiting 5 years. That's a lie. That's a lie. Introduce yourself and introduce.
4 years.
That's, look, people, do not believe her. That is not true. You guys know that's not true. Even if it's true, don't believe her.
Hi. My name is Savvy Roy Moore. I am the founder of Iota Sigma Rho Second Life Sorority. I'm also a real-life Divine Nine sorority sister. And working-class poverty is something that's very important to me. It's very important to the sorority that I founded, and it's very important to my real-life sorority. So I think that we don't talk about it enough. I don't think that people are comfortable talking about it, so I definitely want to talk about it tonight and kind of help normalize it. So
now, as far as you had said, what is a working poverty? Explain that.
So working class poverty, basically, and most people know what it is. It's about 43.1 million people in America. It's also called the lower middle class. So these are people who work full-time jobs but still fall below what's called the poverty line. And the poverty line is somewhere around $40,000 a year. So if your income is less than $40,000 a year, you fall below what is the standard poverty line. And it fluctuates from year to year. Sometimes it goes up to 45, sometimes it goes up to 39. But the national average is $40,000 a year. And these are people who work. They're usually not on any type of food assistance. They're usually not on any type of Social Security benefits or any other federal benefits program.
Now, if you are in a, let's say, a household that one makes that amount and one makes it equal to the amount, like they both make equal amount of money, is it still considered working poverty?
If your equivalent income for two working adults is not over $40,000 of both of your income, then no. Yes, you still fall below the poverty line, because that would mean that, you know, maybe one makes $28,000 and one makes $19,000. If you're still falling below $40,000 a year, you're still in the poverty line, and you can feel it. I mean, it's not one of those things where people aren't aware or that people don't already know. A lot of these occupations include sales, janitorial.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of lower state worker, anyone who works in a fast food chain, regardless of if you're a manager or just the front worker at Walmart, the checker at Walmart, or if, you know, or you manage a Burger King, it doesn't matter. You're not hitting that $40,000 a year. That means you're still struggling.
I think people, some of us that even make over 40 a year still struggle. If you have a house note and car note and everything, I think you're still maybe even struggling even after over 40.
You know, if you live in places like, for example, in this study that we're doing, we have people that live in Chicago, we have someone who lives in New York, and then we have people who live in Florida. And it's amazing because a couple of us make around the same amount of money, and my paycheck will not do crap in New York. I mean, it doesn't even remotely, it won't even pay for rent that one of my
stores
is paying for right now. So, yeah, it does. I mean, $40,000 is what they say or what the government has established as, you know, this is what you need to make to be considered in the middle class. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, what does that even mean to be in the middle class? Like, why is that even important? And that's, and politically, that's been a big platform for people, but no one wants to talk about the people who don't get in that. And that is a majority of the people who is 43.1 million people. That's a ton of people that it's over a third of America, actually, that don't fit in that quote-unquote middle class. So, yeah, it's an epidemic that no one wants to talk about.
You had mentioned that your paycheck or someone's paycheck wouldn't pay for something in, you know, for their cost of living in New York, because I'm assuming, well, New York is New York one of the highest, I guess, places that you would want to live as far as like rent and food, cars and everything? Is that like the most expensive? Is that the word I'm looking for? The most expensive place to live in, where property is probably even worse than other parts of the country, other parts of the U.S.
Right. Yeah. What you're looking for is the cost of living higher there, and the cost of living is definitely higher in major cities, and those cities include Chicago, Illinois, New York, New York. Also includes Los Angeles, California, Orlando, Florida, Miami, Florida is abundantly becoming very expensive as far as cost of living. Dallas, Texas, very high to live there. Las Vegas, very high to live there. So we're talking about these major cities. Some people call them the top 10, where the cost of living is astronomical. And the worst part about it, the cost of living is supposed to vary federally. And it's supposed to vary by state, but it's the same federally. But they won't raise the minimum wage unless it affects the federal cost of living. And that's why a lot of people make less than $10 an hour in some of these states. So it's very eye-opening when you decide that you're going to try to normalize people talking about this, because a lot of people don't live where you live. Some of my sorority sisters live in rural areas where if they made what I made, I mean, they could buy a house and have cars and all that
stuff.
But
right.
Like I said, my store in Chicago is like your $7.95 a month rent is nothing. My rent here is $1,300, and I'm in a one-bedroom, one-bathroom. My $7.95 gives me a four-bedroom, three-bathroom. You know, so it's, the cost of living is out of control. And, yeah, it really affects those top 10 cities more than anywhere else in the country.
I definitely have to agree with you on that, because I live in, well, in Los Angeles, basically in Ladera Heights, which is in Los Angeles, kind of a little bit of like the, where there's like black doctors and lawyers. And trust me, I tell you, I'm totally out of my element here. But when I purchased the house, it was a little bit, you know, cheaper, and ended up losing it because it was just too much. When it was just me on my own, it was just too much. And the cost of living in Cali is extremely high. I know a friend of mine, she pays $17 for rent for a two-bedroom. And when I say, you know, it's a small two-bedroom, it's a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath, and it's a beautiful place, but it's small. And $1,700 a month to me is absolutely ridiculous for a two-bedroom, especially if it's a small place to live and she has a set of twins. So it is. Los Angeles is very high. I know New York is. I know New York is for a fact.
Yo, yeah. New York rent, you're looking at $4,000 for what
right.
would be considered a nice place. And what we find, especially in the studies, and I don't know if people know this, I'm a political scientist by trade. That's what I have my bachelor's in. What we find by studying poverty, and we've been studying poverty in the United States since the Depression, and that's pretty much why we wanted to study poverty, because the Depression hit so hard. So we've been studying poverty for almost over half a century. So we know exactly how poverty starts, why it's so hard to come out of poverty, and all those other things. And what we still find to this day is that it is Black and Hispanic who end up with the highest poverty rates, but we also find that Caucasian or white Americans also go into poverty just as much if not more so, starting now. And that's just purely based on education. And so you have a lot
right.
of elements that really contribute to the poverty line and the poverty problem. But when you look at places like Chicago and you look at places like the Bronx, Harlem, Brooklyn, you look at the boroughs of New York, what do you find? You find a lot of Black and Hispanic people. And the worst part about it is we are the least likely to talk about poverty. We're the least likely to talk about working class poverty. And I wanted to get into that because that's basically pride. So we need to normalize talking about what we can do as far as helping us get out of this, helping each other, and normalizing exactly what we need to do. Because if we don't talk about what we need, we're never going to get the help that we need. And that doesn't always mean
that's true.
Food stamps. That doesn't always mean hustling on the block. There are other things that we can do, and we need to talk about that.
I noticed that you did a survey or something for Second Life. Can you speak a little bit about that survey that you had? That I know you had something that's going on goodness, and I apologize, trying to find the date that you had on there to do the event. I'm not mistaken, it's next week or week after next that you have an event. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes, so we're having a working class poverty exhibition. And this is another reason why we kind of need to talk about it, because when I approached, I mean, several good friends, a lot of founders about this exhibition, they looked at me like I was crazy. Because basically what we're asking people to do is to model the occupation of working class people. So we're asking people to dress up like janitors, dress up like teachers, dress up like trashmen, dress up like a McDonald's worker, or dress
right.
up like a hungry child. And they just looked at me, they just think that I'm nuts. And the reason why we're asking people to do that is because if you can't visualize something that's reality, you can't deal with the reality.
Right.
And so we're asking
right.
people, these are the people you see every day. And to be quite honest, this is you as well. And this is
right.
fine. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with this, you know, with what we're seeing, because this is an epidemic. And until you realize that you don't have to stunt on Second Life, we all know you only have 100 lindens. That's fine. But what we want you to do, I know that's sad. But what we want you to do is we want you this upcoming holiday season to feel comfortable going to your local food bank and getting
right.
Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner for your family, and know that we
right.
understand that you are doing the best that you can. You're working 40 hours a week. You're trying to get overtime. Some people I know on Second Life work too. I think you just quit one job. I had about three. You know, people, he worked two or three jobs sometimes. And sometimes it's
right.
before, but sometimes it's because you need it. And that's fine. We want people to see that, you know, you can dress this way. We want people to understand the facts, because what this event is doing is it's kicking off our fourth annual food drive. And we want to do it better. We want to do it bigger this year. And most importantly, we want the people of Second Life who may be struggling in their real life to understand that we are just like you. We understand what you're going through, but we need you to cast your pride aside for the good of your family. And maybe if people did that more, we wouldn't have such a hard time getting working class families into these food banks. In fact, we just literally called our local food banks. I had everyone in my sorority start looking at their food banks. And one of my sorority sisters came back to me and she said, "Savvy, did you know my food bank has too much food?" I said, "Well, that don't sound like they want to get out of the food bank." Yeah, I was like, they don't have to do their job. And she was like, "No, we're in a working class community. Everyone here pretty much has a job. The unemployment rate is actually extremely low, but everyone is still poor. People are still in debt. People can't save money. People have beat up cars. People are hungry, but they have too much pride to walk into that food bank." And that's the problem we face.
Wow.
And honestly, this is the real reason why we're doing this event. I understand how people are prideful people. I come from a very strong line of prideful people, believe me. But at the same day, and at the same time, it's not about your pride. It's about the fact that, you know, you're doing everything you can, but you still need to eat. Your children still need to eat. And don't be too ashamed to go into your food bank. I mean, I remember when we, the first time we had this event for the fourth annual, for the canned food drive, one person told me, Savvy, how can I give someone food when I don't have any food? And it's taken 2 years to come around and actually feel comfortable enough myself to approach this issue in Second Life. And I remember actually talking to the founder of that organization, and I said, what are you doing to make sure that your people eat? What are you doing to make sure that you have your brother's back? They had no idea because they don't talk about it. I mean, I you can ask any of my sort of sisters, real life or Second Life, I'm all up in it. How you feeling today? How your kids feeling today? What'd you eat for dinner? I mean, I'll ask you very personal questions. Did you drink today? What did you drink? How much did you drink? Only because I care and I want to make sure people are okay. I've sent people care baskets. I've sent people just canned food that I had in the back of my cabinet because, you know, nobody eats that canned or okra anyway, and nobody's going to eat those canned peas anyway. But you know what? That canned okra that I don't eat, somebody would love to have.
That's right. That is true. And I'm glad you mentioned the food drive again, because I remember the food drive that I was actually a part of, and it was extremely successful, and I was so happy to be a part of that. And when it was funny because my car had just the battery had died out, and I was so upset because I couldn't take the food to the place. I called my brother, and I called the place, and they told me, oh, no, we'll come pick it up. Now, that's just how desperate they are to get food for these people. They came and picked the food up, and I thought that was absolutely awesome. I never thought they would do that, and I basically called them and told them, you know, how could I send it to them? Like, no, we'll pick it up. And sure enough, that same day, they came and picked the food up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, and I remember the last time we did it, I think we did it only for Christmas. And
right.
People, especially around Christmas time, that seems to be the only time where people feel comfortable enough to go to a food bank. But, you know, if you need to go, if you don't have food, you need to go. I'm not ashamed to say that I grew up extremely poor. I'm not ashamed to say that I fought a little, and actually not even really a little, I fought right on the borderline. And I consider myself working class either way because, to me,
right.
I work and I struggle. Working class, that's pretty much it.
Right,
and,
exactly.
I'm not ashamed to say that I grew up in a single-family home. In fact, it's about 19.4 million people in America right now that are in single-family homes that are in extreme poverty. And that means they make $10,000 or less a year. And I remember one time my mom had to go to a food bank. In fact, I think it was one of those. I think it was a couple of times. You know, I'm very blessed. I got a college education a couple times over. But I don't forget that. And I tell my kids not to forget that. And even though we might be struggling, there's still that extreme poverty. And so, you
exactly.
know, people feel like, okay, let's go get the free turkey. Well, you know what? Go get the free turkey. But also don't forget when it's summertime and your kids don't get free meals at your school, don't forget to go pick up the free Spam and pick up the free, you know, ham sandwich or faux ham sandwich or government cheese or whatever it's going to take. And I always tell people, especially when these other founders come back to me and they don't feel comfortable taking off their fancy mesh or fit mesh, and for the people who don't play Second Life, that's just a really nice-looking anything, jacket or dress, they don't feel comfortable dressing down into their, you know, McDonald's clothes or janitor or whatever they wanted to dress as.
Right.
Or ask them to dress as. They don't feel comfortable with that, but I ask them, are you a hustler? And, of course, you know, everybody says the same thing. Of course I'm a hustler. I know how to survive. You know how to survive? Then why are you not showing people how to survive, the real way to survive, which is going to these food banks, which is donating to these food banks? And how do you donate food, Sugar? Sometimes it's just donating clothes. People don't realize how many people that are working poor in extreme poor don't even have shoes. Don't even have shoes. In fact, I was going to throw out a pair of shoes because I couldn't figure out if they were mine or my daughter's. And she said, I'm just going to throw them out because she really wants to get new shoes for Christmas, whatever. And my son, who's autistic, he was taking out the trash. I told him to come take out the trash, and he said, why are we throwing away these shoes? I said, well, I don't know whose they are, and your sister doesn't want to wear them, and they don't fit my feet. It's fine. And he said, these are a perfectly good pair of shoes, though. And at first, I was like, okay, yes, I got it. Throw it away. But then he said it in a very nonchalant way, because that's obvious the case for you. But it made me really think about it, and I said, you know, where's your donation bag? Because I make them all. We have donation bags. And, you know, they both said they were in the closet. I said, well, take those shoes off the trash can, put them in the donation bag. You know, are they clean? You know, yes, they were clean. Put them in the donation bag. Because it took a child to remind me that there was a point in my life when I didn't
right.
have shoes.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. We're going to take a quick minute, and we're going to be back with her. You can see there's a lot we have to talk about. We won't even talk about all of it today, of course, but she is going to be coming back with the show. But give us about 5 minutes, and we shall return. 5 and 5. On October 8, 2016, and I have a very wonderful guest who's near and dear to my heart, my sister. We have been talking, you just logged in or just started listening. Shame on you, you should have been listening to me at 7. But no, if you just logged in, we are talking about poverty, something, a subject that a lot of people do not like to discuss, and it needs to be discussed. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be talked about, because unfortunately, as my sister was saying, Sabi was saying before, it's something that everyone struggles to, working poverty. And what working poverty is that when you're working and still you're not making ends meet, or you're struggling to make ends meet, you're working paycheck to paycheck, you don't have any money to put aside to even put aside to save. And that is what we call working poverty. She is in the Game of Second Life. She has a sorority there. Iota Sigma Rho is actually in the Game of Second Life. And she's also the Divine Nine in real life. So, yes, wonderful, and love her to death. We're going to bring her back on. Now, before we do this, if you are in Second Life, she will be having an event. And if you want to talk to her more about it, please, please, please hit her up. On Facebook, she is under Sabi Rho Amor, SSAIVEERHONAMOR, Amor. So definitely hit her up if you're interested, because this is something that is near and dear to her heart. She did we talked very briefly about her doing a food bank event where people basically in real life took food to different banks in the area. She was saying how one of her sorority sisters said the food bank had too much food, which means that people were ashamed to go and ask for food, and we were basically discussing how you should not be ashamed of that. Also, she will be doing the food bank again this year, which I'm really happy about. if you are a follower of my show and you are not in Second Life, because a lot of you have no idea what Second Life is, once she starts doing that, I urge even you, you don't have to be in Second Life to do this. You can actually be in, you know, in your own little town or city, where have you, and you can join this. You don't have to be in Second Life, and I urge you guys to join. If you want more information, as time gets, you know, closer, please hit me up, you know, say, you know, Sugar, Samoth, whatever you call me, Sister Girl, Honeydew, whatever. Whatever you call me, you know, let me know you want to participate in this, and we would gladly give you the more information about it. And if you need to know, you know, what food banks is in your city, just ask, you know, once it gets started, ask us. We'll find out what food bank is close to you. And as I was telling her before, my car had went on the flip at the time, and I couldn't take the food. They came and picked it up. Now, I don't know if in your city, your town, or what have you would do that, but here they did do that, and I was really grateful for them to do that, so they needed the you know, the food that badly. But anyway, enough of my yik-yak-yakking. Let's bring her back on, and let's discuss a little bit more of this. This is very interesting. I hope you guys will sit back. If you just logged in, sit back, relax, and listen. Okay, my darling, we are back with Miss Thing again. something you mentioned, you didn't miss, I actually looked at child poverty. And it says, can you give us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so basically child poverty are children who also fall in that same category of a little bit poverty line. These are kids who also receive free and reduced lunches. Basically, they are the children of these working-class families. And sometimes, honestly, they're not the children of these working-class families. Sometimes these children are fosters. Sometimes these children are just abandoned. And the shameful, and I guess not shameful, I think it's just shameful for America, but just shameful in general is the poverty rate for children under 18 was 19.7% in 2015. Now, the good part about it is it was down from 21.1% in 14. And the number, when the number of poverty children was about 14.5 million. So it's going down, but the total population is about 23.1%. And that's a lot. That's almost a quarter of the children in America live in poverty. And so, and it's not just they live in poverty, but they don't eat. They don't have proper nutrition. They don't have good clothing. I refer to them as lost children, because they're the kids that no one talks about. Maybe it's the shy boy or girl in your class that doesn't say much. Maybe it's the one that falls asleep all the time. And I think that is probably the saddest thing to witness, is our children who have to experience the effects of poverty, especially in working-class families.
You mentioned something about, you know, children who get free lunches. I had read an article, I think it's about maybe a month ago, where it says should schools not give food, you know, free lunches to parents who don't pay. Now, when you say free lunches, are these children that have to prove that their parents is under or below a certain amount that they make a month, or how does that work? Because when I read that, I didn't get it. I thought the free lunches were free lunches, and they said should school stop feeding kids who parents are not paying for their lunches? So is that something different from that?
No, I mean, it's pretty much the same. And let me just say that school meal programs remain one of the most effective means of ensuring children receive the nutrition they need to be healthy. Because without those school programs, some kids won't eat. They only will get the one meal they can get a day, and that might not even be enough. And in some situations, unfortunately, they might not have a meal at home. So basically, if you
right.
have one of these free and reduced programs, you would go to the school and register. They would either send it home during the first few days of school. And yeah, you have to say and prove that you fall underneath one of these programs. I remember I got free and reduced lunch. I got free lunch actually as a child, because as I said previously, you know, I grew up extremely poor in the South. And I remember being in high school and filling out the application, and my mom filling out the application, and all of a sudden I went from free lunch to reduced lunch. And I said, hold on a minute, you know, why did that happen? And that's what really initially sparked my interest in political science, because I figured out that it was because the cost of living had changed, and because she had a job, just a job, we all of a sudden didn't qualify. If she had no job,
wow.
If she had no job, we wouldn't eat, period. But, yeah, because she just had a job. And so we're experiencing working-class families that still have to pay for lunch for their children, but they can barely afford to pay for the lights in their house. And so it's terrible because the kids are being affected more than anyone else. And my master's in education, and as I say all the time, especially to my kids when they don't want to eat breakfast in the morning, I said, if you're hungry, you can't think. If you're hungry, you can't learn. So
that's
you better
true.
Eat this Pop-Tart
that
and get out the door because it's 7:30. You know, and they look at me like, I'm nuts. They're like, oh, my God.
So if a parent is on public assistance and not working, that child would more than likely get a free meal. As a sitter, like maybe say a mother working at McDonald's who basically has, as you said, can barely pay the bill, so that child would either get a reduced lunch or either they have to pay full lunch. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And that is devastating
wow.
because if you work at McDonald's, you're not making that much money at all. And I think this
right.
also plays a little bit into why a lot of people who are on public assistance never get off. Because what's the point? You can get $1,400 sitting at home doing nothing a month, or you can go work at McDonald's and get $695, let's say, a month working 40 hours a week. What's the point? You're going to get more money
right.
sitting at home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So.
And let's not forget childcare, because if you have little ones, because I have the same friend of mine who has a set of twins, her childcare. I mean, they're not wealthy. I mean, they're pretty not well off, but her husband has a decent job and so does she. But she says that her childcare is absolutely through the roof. You know, she said one day she really thought that, maybe me not working makes more sense, than her working, because her child care almost takes up all the money that she works, like a working class mother, and it takes up almost all the money that she works for.
Yeah, actually, a new study just came out in Florida that said that the cost of child care is now more than college tuition. So it costs more to put your kids through child care.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Because I have student loans, and so that made me really sit down and calculate, like, what are they talking about? And based on their stats, and I stat checked them, they are absolutely right. It makes no sense how much money getting your kids through newborn to kindergarten. Crazy. It's crazy. You might as well just keep it in and close your legs because there are no scholarships. and don't get me wrong. You can get a voucher program, but like I said, if you work one job, forget it. You absolutely forget it. You're not going to get the voucher.
Is there anything that you see that we can do about more about the child poverty than anything? Because that concerns me more than anything, a child not having a meal. Because as you said, even with me, with me being a diabetic, I'm supposed to eat three meals a day, but of course we know I don't do that. I'm supposed to eat three full meals and then little meals around, and I don't do that. And I notice that around noontime, I'm hungry and I can't concentrate on what I need to concentrate on. And I know with a child, if you're in a school environment, you're supposed to learn. How can you learn if your stomach is growling and you're hungry? You can't, just like you said, you can't concentrate. What is there that can be done maybe to make sure these children eat breakfast, and lunch, not just breakfast, but lunch as well?
Right. So one of the things that we have taken upon ourselves to do, and we actually, we've looked into what other people are doing. There's actually a lady who, I guess it's kind of like a neighborhood mother who goes to the bus stop and hands out Pop-Tarts. We don't always have those things around us, which is amazing. I can't believe she does that. She pays for it out of her own money. She's a retired lady. That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but not everyone has those things. You look at people like Officer Tommy Norman from my home state of Arkansas, in North Little Rock, Arkansas, who drives around the neighborhood in his cop car with tons of snacks in the backyard. We don't have things like that. Those are not everyday.
Right.
So,
right.
And I commend them for that. That's amazing. But what we need to do, what we need to focus on, is when we live paycheck to paycheck, we often find that it's never enough. And we have to get to a point where we realize, especially about these children, that something has got to give. You have to set aside $5, and that's what we found is the magic number. We have to set aside about $5 a week per child to ensure that they have breakfast that we provide, and they can make it to breakfast at home, at breakfast at school, I'm sorry, and that they have some sort of after-school type snack. And so we tried this with our own family, and I'm going to be honest, we failed a bunch of times because we failed with portion sizes, and we have two kids, so that's $10. But we finally found the magic number, and we finally found the magic combination of food. So what we found, what we were finding was that ramen noodles, noodles in, I think they're about 33 cents. You warm them up in the microwave. Those are effective. Off-brand Pop-Tarts, if you actually cut them, well, you don't have to cut them. It's a 10 in a box. So one kid gets one kid gets the other. That is 5 days worth of Pop-Tarts. That's about $1.88. And then snack-sized chips, or you can buy the off-brand chips for $1.33 and break them down into little baggies. There are ways. We just have to announce.
Right.
Yeah, there are ways. It's just people don't know what to do because they're like, I'm poor now, I'm poor forever, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
And you mentioned something about, and I know for a fact that you can go to a 99 cent store. And what is the one that's near me? God, I can't remember the name of it, but there's one that's not called 99 cents. It's called Dollar Tree. And you can get, you know, those snacks and stuff for the kid. And it's a dollar. You can get several of them. So I don't know. I guess I just don't. When it comes to kids, my heart goes out because I know they can't do any more than what, you know, what we do. And if we don't step up and do something, then, you know, you're going to have a bunch of hungry children. And it's sad because you don't want to have a child in class. And because I remember a couple of times when, you know, I would go to school, my grandma said, you know, make sure you eat breakfast. And I would wave my hand to her because if she wasn't making grits and bacon or grits and sausage and eggs, I didn't want to eat. You know, if she was, like, running late for work, said, baby, go in and get you, you know, get you a bowl of cereal. And I was like, I don't want no cereal, I want grits. So I would go, you know, go to school. And I would remember that by the time, you know, class was starting, I was like, uh-oh, I really should have went and got and ate that cereal. But by that time, it was too late, you know, because if grandma wasn't cooking, I didn't want to eat. And I know that if a child who wants to eat, you know, who wants to have a meal and whose parents, honestly, not that they don't love their child or want to do for it, they honestly just can't afford it. And it would be nice if some of these school programs, you know, instead of funding for wars and funding for jails and all this other mess, start funding to have these children fed. That's what they need to start taking these funds for.
Right, and it's a big undertaking.
Right.
It's a big undertaking. And I think some schools actually do try. I know, for example, the Obama administration has done a lot about school nutrition, about what the kids are eating. And you can thank Ms. Michelle Obama for that fresh fruit that's in your cafeteria these days that some people don't eat. But what they don't realize is why that fresh fruit is there, because she realized a long time ago, being a lawyer, being a Harvard graduate, that children don't eat breakfast. And she worked in inner city Chicago. She practiced in inner city Chicago. She grew up in inner city Chicago. So she knew. She understood that. And you have to excuse me, I'm a big fan of that initiative. I'm a big fan of the Obamacare, but I'm a big fan of that initiative as a teacher by trade, because I realized that that's important. And so, you know, one of the things that I was and actually my sorority sisters are messaging me like crazy because they're like, you're forgetting to mention something. We are actually doing our own initiative, our own project, where we are releasing grocery lists from the four different regions of the, and actually there are more than four, but we're just going to hit the north, south, east, and west of the United States, $50 or less per week grocery list. And we're going to see how well we can make that stretch. As I said before, we do have problems in New York, and we do have problems in Chicago. Chicago seems to be hitting around 75, but New York is hitting around 100. And so we're working as much as we can on that. But we do have our first international list as well that will be released on Monday from our international store from the United Kingdom. And so we are going to release these grocery lists over the next 3 months.
Wonderful.
About where you guys can get your groceries for $50 a week, or based upon where you live, if you live in one of those top 10 cities, what's the cheapest we can personally get your grocery list. And we're not doing this by calling around a bunch of places or finding a bunch of studies. We're not doing that. We're going to the store. We're going to these stores. We're trying to figure it out. We are tackling it head on, because what we find is that everyone wants to quote stats. I'm a political scientist. I love stats. I love facts. Shoot me. But I'm also a real person who has to work. I have a light bill. I have to get extensions. I live this life just like everybody else. I have a car note. I have insurance. It's too high because I live in Florida. I mean, we live these lives together. And that means that sometimes it takes a little footwork. I mean, I know my store in Chicago just wanted to cuss me out the other day because she lives on the south side of Chicago, and she was really trying to make that $50 stretch. And she was like, oh, my God, I have to take the train. I have to go all the way to Evanston, which I think is about 40 miles away. And she was like, you have no idea how hard it is to get cheap meat. And, you know, I took that for granted because I said, oh, I just drove to the bodega, which is like a, which is Spanish for store, but I just
you know I know
yeah
right.
I was like I picked up some cube steak to make me steak. I picked up some rice and beans, and I took that for granted because I could get in my car. But my store in New York, I mean, we are struggling in New York to get this grocery list, and that will probably be the last list to be released because it's just insane. The prices there are insane. And they don't have Walmart in New York City, which is ridiculous to me. So,
well, you know, I don't go to Walmart, so you know.
Oh, here we go. Listen.
Well, I don't. You know that I told you. I Walmart, please. No.
And that's another thing. You know, people don't want to go to. I mean, I hear that so often.
I sure don't.
Go to Walmart.
Hell to no! I'm not going to Walmart. I don't care.
You know, the thing is, though, if you get hungry enough, you going to Walmart.
Mm-mm. No, I'm not.
I just got some pork chops from Walmart today for $9, and they were quite delicious. Ask your brother-in-law.
Well, you know what? No. Anyway. let me stop, because you know me. You can have an argument about Walmart and then run the show out. So let's stop.
Yes. But we are. We're doing the best that we can, and we're not doing this because it's like, oh, we're sorority, we need to look good. I don't give a damn about looking good. Everybody knows that. What I care about.
Thank you.
I don't care about looking good. People can hate me and love me. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, this isn't just helping me, because I need to do this too. I need to get my budget under control. But
What
I find, we find that when people have support, that they're more likely to do things. And so I know. I mean, I am so close to all of my sorority sisters, and I love them so much. I know when they struggle, we talk about it all the time. And, you know, like, we pass on information. I just did a debt class the other day, and actually it was Dave Ramsey, who's amazing. He has a radio show here in Florida, and I listen to it, you know, once or twice a month, and he was talking about budgets and all this other stuff, and I got real fired up, and I spread that throughout the entire sorority about how we can get on a better budget, about how we can live with $10 less a week or $10 less a month. And we've been doing that since, I think, the second week of September, and everyone has saved at least $60. Who did it? And I was just like, I see stuff works. And so if we're able to pass this information on to other people, we have done ourselves a good deed, and we've done them a good deed. So it's about helping each other collectively, because I don't care how much you want to stunt on Second Life with that fitted mesh and the newest catwalk head and all this other stuff that you want to front with, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, if you open up your refrigerator and there's no food there, your virtual life doesn't mean shit. And it doesn't mean shit if you don't have any electricity, because you won't have any internet. So it's not going to matter. if you can't feed yourself, and it's not going to matter.
Second life by candlelight. Let me stop.
Your kids going to be drinking tears and eating DVDs if you don't get your life. And you know what? People have to become comfortable enough to say, guess what? I'm going to use IOTA's $50 a week budget. And we just, and like I said, we just got our international one done. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You can make $50 stretch if you are in the right environment.
Oh, trust me, I know, because we've already, we talked yesterday about, you know, getting on a budget, because we need to get on a budget, because I noticed I overspend. And then by the time, you know, I'm like, uh-oh, wait a minute, you know, what are we doing here? Okay, who are we paying, you know? And you do, because a lot of times, and I'd say more so me, because at one point I was able to, you know, to do more, and I was able to spend more. And now it's not like that. You know, things change. You know, budgets change. Things change. You know, money changes. I'm not ashamed or afraid to say, oh, wow, you know, there's certain things I just have to put down and think about getting later, because it's the truth. I think that if you're a working-class person, it's the truth of all. You know, like you just said, you know, you're on Second Life, you know, buying it. I can't buy a catwalk head. One thing is because I can't stand them. But another thing is that because, honestly, my budget doesn't approve of it. You know, I have to do so much because I have SL kids, and even though my children never ask me for a damn thing, I love my kids, they never ask for a damn thing, I want to be able to send them little trinkets every now and then in real life. You know, I want to be able to do something for my kids in real life. And I've got a goddaughter who is high maintenance, you know, but when I tell her, hey, I can't afford it, she never bats an eye. You know, she does. She says, okay, I understand, and that's it. So, I mean, I think all of us, if you're admitting it, nobody's, you know, sitting on Chrome. But if you're sitting on Chrome and you've got all this money, you wouldn't be on Second Life. There'd be no need to. I do that because I don't like to go out for one thing, and number two, I can't afford to be spending my money and buying drinks and paying gas to go out. I just can't do it, and I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can to make my friends like, oh, wow, really? No. No. I don't mind going to Kohl's and getting a handbag. You know, I'm not going to be giving nobody no $200 and $300 of my money. Are you kidding me? Please. No, that's okay.
Exactly. Don't get me started on Kohl's, because I be hitting up Ross. I found a really beautiful bag at Ross. I don't
Girl,
care.
Girl, hello? Hello?
I mean,
I'm telling you, Kohl's or handbag.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the thing is, people are like, well, you know, I don't. You know, I work, and I don't give it. And it's like, it's not about whether you work or not. It's about whether or not you're surviving and whether or not you're happy. Because you know what? When you live paycheck to paycheck, you're typically not happy. And I actually just had this conversation with my daughter today, because she's like, oh, I want to decorate the house like this for Halloween and that for Halloween. And I'm like, listen here, we got $10 for these decorations. Make it work.
Okay.
And it's so funny because she's actually my stepdaughter.
Go to Walmart.
My daughter.
Go to Walmart and make it work.
We went to Dollar Tree, and the funny part about
there you
it
go. I love the Dollar Tree.
I'm telling you, the Dollar Tree near my house is amazing. I don't even know why we shop anywhere else. But you know, if you do yourself a favor, and you do your children a favor, when you include them. And things financially, and that's something that was not easy for me. But I told her, I told the kids today, you need to have your Christmas list finalized by tonight, because we're not doing it. And so they did. I said, you pick your top five. Now, that doesn't mean they're only going to get five things. Obviously, if we can stretch it, we're going to make it stretch as much as possible. And we also have other pros and cons and things to look at. You know, for example, if they ask for clothes, you know, my mom is going to buy them clothes. So I have one less
thing.
But I had to include them in the conversation. So when I told her we got $10 to make this Halloween thing work, she said, okay, can I borrow your phone so I can go on Pinterest? She went on Pinterest. Sugar, I got like 30 black balloons in my living room floor right now. I'm going to send you a picture when we get off of this. I have 30 black balloons. She went to the Dollar Tree. She got black balloons and streamers. She's making giant spiders in the front yard. Because
oh, my goodness.
They're massive balloons, too. They were a dollar. And the streamers, it was two packs of streamers. It was two and one was a dollar. And that she was going to decorate the entire front yard in spiders. And that's because she was included in a conversation about finances and got a chance and an opportunity to learn and to know that, you know what,
right,
this is the budget that we have. And when we go shopping, sometimes I say, sometimes she'll stop me. She said, you're compulsive buying because you want those grapes right now, but that's not in our budget. We have to buy new things. So sometimes she has to stop me. And that means that she is learning as a child what she has to do to function. And that is a true survival skill, because surviving doesn't mean hustling on the block. Surviving is a means of making sure that you live your life to the fullest potential,
right,
and the best way possible. And if you're just teaching people that you just got to hustle on the block to make money, you're not teaching them how to hustle in real life. Because believe me, college is a hustle. Working every day is a hustle. Working and not slapping a coworker in the face, for me, is a hustle. And, you know, I actually told one of my coworkers who I'm actually close with the other day, because I have this person at work that I just really don't get along with. And she said, oh, my God, if I was in your position, I would have quit. I said, you know what stopped me? I don't want to go back to the hood. I don't want to go back to the hood, because I can easily slap her and go back to the hood and get unemployment benefits. But I'm not. I'm not going to slap her, even though I can't stand her. So it's different. So I really want people to know that we are documenting this thanks to you. We will have these lists out. We are going to continue to work on working poverty. And we need people in Second Life to come down a little bit and to be real with us. Because IOTA Sigma Rho, Second Life Sorority, means real life impact. And that means that people need to realize that this is not just virtual for my organization. This is not virtual for my sister. We are really here to help each other, and we want to help you guys as well. And we hope people join us. I don't know. They're not really feeling it right now. I don't care. We're going to keep doing it. you either join in. No, exactly.
I hate to cut you off. We've done this for an hour. You said 45 minutes. I put it for an hour. We're almost out of time. We're going to come back with this, because as you guys can see, this is a subject that can be going on and on and on. Please make sure that you contact her about the event that she's talking about, the expose, the exhibit. I'm going to go ahead and post it on my timeline. And, again, if you want to discuss it with her, if you're in Second Life, we're not asking you to tell us how much money you make or what have you. We're just asking, again, for you to be real and to just put yourself out there. You know, if you need help, there's nothing to shame of that. You don't even have to tell us it's you if you don't want to. But just, you know, especially organizations, we want you to come about and do this. This is something that would help not only you but those around you. As always, thank you so much for being on my show. My God, I'm so glad that you joined me. We're going to do another one, right?
Yes, hopefully we're going to be able to do another one. Like I said, I think we're only going to probably do three in total. Just want to do a before, middle, and last. Hopefully by next week people will join us. But next week, definitely, I will have that grocery list, like I said, put up internationally for the United Kingdom. And we're also going to have one for the southern United States, which I think is needed right now because of the hurricanes and everything else. So we're going to definitely have that up next week. And they'll be able to, some of my sorority sisters are going to join us, and they'll be able to tell us about their difficulties in getting the grocery list done.
Okay, you guys heard it. So we will be back next week. As always, thanks again, sis. As always, I'm so happy that I'm back. Okay, I am back. As always, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for your support, your love, your God, just overwhelming, you guys. I really appreciate it. And please, please, please do not forget to support this cause. This is something that really is near and dear to a lot of people's heart. Let's just be real with it. If we all had money, we would not be on Second Life or any place else. But anyway, as I always said, thank you so much again. I can't thank you guys enough. I'm going to end here because it's telling me I only have 60 seconds. So as always, sugar kisses. Good night.